We're in the book of Deuteronomy this morning. If you'd like to turn, please. Deuteronomy and chapter 20. Say, why Deuteronomy? It's a great book, actually. And this is a very interesting chapter. You'll think, why in the world are we looking at this chapter? Because this is a chapter where God is giving Israel instructions on how to go to war. We'll see if it applies. So we'll start there in verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 20. The Bible says, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. And the officer shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man take her. And the officer shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. And it shall be, when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people." I think we'll stop there. But we're going to take our title from verse 1, "When thou goest out to battle." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray that you'd use your word in our lives this morning. We come expecting to hear from you, Lord, and believing the power of your word. May our Savior Jesus Christ be magnified, and may we leave changed. So we love you. We commit this service to you. We ask it all in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I chose this chapter because we are in a war. And God gives us in this chapter, we're going to look at more of the chapter together, but he gives us the rules of war, we'll call it. And all of them apply to the war that we're fighting. You and I are in a war, we're in a battle against the devil and his helpers. Now the Bible makes this very clear. If you want to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible tells us that we are soldiers in this war. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 3 if you would. The Bible says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." God has chosen each of us that are born again children of God to be a soldier of Jesus Christ in a war that's unlike any other war. It's a war against the devil for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Things that we can't see. We're in a war against these things, and what's at stake is people's souls. That's big. You know, as it says here in 2 Timothy, he that warreth. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to Timothy, you go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, he made it very clear that we are in a war. We are in a battle, and it is a battle to the death for others, and maybe even us. I mean, you read Fox's Book of Martyrs. How many Christians have died for standing for Jesus? Physically been killed, martyred for their faith. Notice 1 Timothy 1:18. He says, "This charge I commend unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." It's pretty clear that we are in a war. Notice 1 Timothy 6, just over a couple chapters, and verse 12. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." And God has even given us armor. We read about it in Ephesians chapter 6, do we not? It talks about the helmet, the breastplate. He's even given us a weapon. The sword of the Spirit. And prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This equating the Christian life to war is all through the New Testament. We are in a war. And so I'd like us to think now as we go through Deuteronomy chapter 20 together and look at the five rules of war. How can I apply them to my battle as I fight for the cause of Jesus Christ? So let's go back to our chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 20. We'll start there in verse 3 and look at the first rule of war. And it's an interesting one. It says here in verse 3, "And he shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day into battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them." The number one and first and most important rule of war is don't be afraid. Well, when a soldier goes to a real war, he's afraid. That's fact. He's going up against tanks and planes and guns, and it's scary. But the first thing they said was, you're not to be afraid. Why? Because, verse 4, the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you and to save you. Yes, we're in a war, and yes, sometimes the enemy seems stronger than us, but we have God on our side. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? We have nothing to fear in this war. The devil sometimes seems strong and daunting. God made him. And we have living within us God, the Holy Ghost, who made the devil. The Bible says we're not to fear. The Bible says Psalm 56, 4, "And God I will praise His word, and God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." All through the Scriptures we're told, fear not, don't be afraid. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. And so the first rule of war, as we think about it from our perspective, and we go out and we daily are fighting against the principalities and the powers and the spiritual wickedness, is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid because God is on our side. Can I tell you a secret? I've read the end of the book, and we win. Amen? It might seem sometimes like we're losing the battles, but we do win the war. And there's going to come a day when we get to put our, I don't know how this works, because there's going to be millions of Christians, but it says there in Romans chapter 16 that we actually get to put our foot on the neck of the devil, which is what they did in the old times. The winning side, the king or the general or whatever, would do that very thing. He would put his foot on the neck of the losing side, of the leader of the losing side. And so God says there's going to come a day when we get to do that to Satan. Now, I know the Bible says to love our enemies, but I don't think the devil applies. It's okay to not like the devil. And it's okay to look forward to the day when he's cast into the bottomless pit and chained up and not an issue anymore. And so rule number one, when we go to war, when we step out that door every morning to fight against the rulers of the darkness of this world, don't be afraid. God's on our side. Rule number two, look at verse 7 or verse 6. Actually, verse 5. "The officer shall speak unto the people, What man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go return to his house." Verse 6, "What man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him go and return to his house." Verse 7, "What man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return it to his house." Say, what does this have to do with anything? What God was saying was that the home front has to be strong. You've got to have this support structure. You think about real war and what goes on, for example, what's going on in Afghanistan right now or other places. Yes, you've got the soldiers out there on the front lines fighting, but behind them, the support structure would blow our minds if we understood all that goes in to providing them weapons and food and support and medical care. And it's bigger than the soldiers themselves as far as quantity of people involved. But the same is true here. We cannot be effective in this war against the devil and the entire world, and are we not commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel, if the home front, if the churches aren't strong. Because it's the churches that send out the missionaries. It's the churches that support the missionaries. It's the churches that pray for the missionaries. If the churches aren't strong, then the missionaries won't exist. And they won't be taken care of, and they won't have that support structure of prayer and support behind them. So the home front has to be strong. You can't fight a war without a strong support structure behind it. And so he says, if you've not dedicated your house, if you've not eaten of your vineyard, if you haven't betrothed your, if you haven't married your wife that you're betrothed or you will be married to, go home and get married. Go home and eat of your vineyard. Go home and dedicate your house. The rest of us will fight. But the home front has to be strong. Because the church's ultimate goal is duplication. You know, Paul said to Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me and the many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The stronger the home front, the more missionaries get sent. And the more effective the church as a whole is in fighting this evil world for men and women and boys and girls' souls. So, you know, we're constantly in America hearing about all these statistics, about all these missionaries coming home and not enough are being sent out to replace them. And it's just bad news, bad news, bad news. Always focusing on the negative statistics. You know what? I think the devil loves that. I really do. It's almost as if we've already lost and we might as well just throw up our hands and quit and give up. Well, I just don't see that in Scripture where we're supposed to quit and give up and throw up our hands. I see us being told to fight until God takes us home. And God is sovereign. This is His world. He's in control. God knows what He's doing, and God will take care of it. We just need to do the right thing. And I believe one of the reasons why missions isn't moving forward as fast as it should, it's we don't blame the missionaries, we blame the churches. There's not as many. They're not growing like they should. There's not a new ones getting established like they should. You think about it. If you have Church A, and it's a little bit of a rabbit trail, Church A is only going to give so much to missions. You can have missions conferences. You can encourage people to give. But in the end, that church is only going to give so much to missions. But if Church A helps start Church B and Church C over time, sends out people to start churches, then that church is going to have a missions program. And they're going to support missions. And this other church will too. And that will church may someday send out a missionary. And that church will. It's all about duplication. So the home front has to be strong. Number 3, verse 8. The Bible says, the officers shall speak unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return into his house. Number 3 is, don't listen to the fearful. The other ones, we understand why they sent home. Hadn't married the lady he's engaged to yet, hasn't eaten the vineyard, his house isn't finished and dedicated. But this last one, why is he sending them home? The fearful? He tells us why. Because he doesn't want, at the end of the verse, lest his brethren's heart faint as well. They don't want him in the battle. If you're afraid to go and fight for God, he says, get out of the way. Go home, because we don't want you there spreading your fear. That's what he's saying. And the third rule of war is, don't listen to those that are afraid. You know, God told Jeremiah, be not afraid of their faces, for I'm with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. He told him up front, they're not going to listen to you. And they didn't. They're going to put you in prison. And they did. And he ended up in a pit full of gook. I don't even know what it was. They just abused him all the time. God told him in advance, Jeremiah, I want you to preach my word, and they're not going to listen, and they're going to mistreat you. But don't be afraid. You're my man. I'll take care of you. And he did. The way to motivate soldiers isn't to tell them that they're going to lose or that they are losing. Don't you think that most generals, when they go to motivate the soldiers, tell them, you're going to win? You're on the winning side. They're not going to say it. All right, let's go fight. Now, we're going to lose for sure because they're better than us, but let's do it anyway. Nobody does that. But a lot of Christians are like that. We've already lost. It's too late. Christianity's failing. No, it hasn't failed. And we will win in the end. And God wants us to go and fight for Jesus. But don't listen to the faint-hearted. Then he gives a bunch of special rules in verses 9 through 14 or 16, which we won't spend any time on. There were some specific rules about cutting down trees and besieging cities and so forth. But he does go on to say in verse 16 of the cities that are close, he said, I want you to save nothing alive that breatheth. Utterly destroy them. So he's saying there's basically two sets of rules when it comes to who you kill and who you don't. If it's a far away place, he says to only kill the men. But if it's one of these close people, the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, kill everybody. You say, man, that's pretty harsh. Well, God didn't want their disease to spread. He didn't want their idolatry to spread. Why? Because he didn't want his testimony to be ruined by God's people following the ways of the enemy. Which we'll get to that. That's rule number 5. But rule number 4 is stay focused on your mission. Which is what he tells them. Here is your mission. Here is when you go, this is what you have to do. These are the rules. I want you to be focused on the rules. What's our mission? Well, it's not complicated, is it? Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's pretty simple. I want you to go reach everybody. Duplication. We just talked about that, 2 Timothy 2:2. Also in Acts 13, we see the church sending people out to preach the gospel. Our mission is to win the lost, baptize them, and teach them all things, as Jesus said in Matthew 28. And after we teach them all things, then God will raise some up and we send them out. And that's our mission. It's really not complicated. Get involved in missions because the cause of lost souls is worth the sacrifice. But don't lose sight of why we're here. Is the church here to be against this or against that or to fight each other? No. We're here to fight a war for the cause of Jesus Christ. A lot of churches have lost sight of their mission. They think the mission is to, you know, put up banners and be against things. I don't see that in the Bible. The Bible says our mission is to win lost people to Christ and to train them in the Word of God. God says don't lose sight of it. Be focused on the mission. And then the fifth rule, which I already hinted at, verse 18. He says that they teach you not to do after their abominations, which they've done unto their gods, so should you sin against the Lord your God. Now, which is amazing when you think about it from a war perspective. He says the last rule of war, whatever you do, don't adapt the ways of the enemy. They're the enemy. You're fighting them for a reason. Don't want to be like them. But how many Christians want to be like the world? The Bible says if you love the world, you're the enemy of God. In James chapter 4. God says that. How foolish to want to be like the enemy. But that's the fifth rule and a very important one. Go to John chapter 17 where Jesus, when he was praying for the church, for his apostles and for us, subsequently, I want you to see what he prayed. He's praying to the Heavenly Father for Christians of the future. John 17 verse 15. Look what he said. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Lord, I don't want you to take them out of the world because the world needs them. They are the light of the world. They are the salt of the earth. I don't want you to take them out and put them in a commune up on top of a mountain somewhere. The world needs to hear the gospel. So I don't pray that you take them out of the world, just that you keep them from the evil of the world. Because God wants us in the world. He wants us fighting for the cause of Christ. But while we're fighting, the last rule is don't look at the ways of the enemy and say, oh, I want to be like them. Don't adapt to the enemy's ways. The Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them in Ephesians 5:11. So as we think about this morning, we're in a war. We're soldiers. We've been called to fight. We've been given armor. God's detailed it all out for us in Ephesians 6. We've been given a sword. We've been given the power of prayer. God says, go and fight. Fight a good warfare. We are soldiers for Jesus Christ. And when you go and fight, five rules. We'll review them. Number one, what does he say? Don't be afraid. The Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. In Proverbs 29:25. Don't be afraid. That's rule number one. Rule number two, keep the home front strong. The churches must be strong in the Word of God, reaching people, growing in the Word, growing spiritually, and then God will use them to send people to go and do it and do it and do it. That's how it's worked for 2,000 years. The home front has to be strong. And we'll hear more about this from Brother Anger. I'm sure he'll be pretty hard on us here in a couple weeks. We need it because we need to be excited about missions and doing everything we can. Number three, don't listen to the fearful. There are Christians who are down in the mouth about serving Jesus, about fighting this war. Don't listen to them. They're wrong. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says we've overcome the world. We are winners. Number four, stay focused on the mission. Be focused on what God has for us as a church and as Christians. Why are we here? We're here to glorify God. We're here to serve Jesus Christ as a church. We're here to reach people and train them in the Word and eventually send them out to serve God in other places. That's why we're here. Stay focused on that. And then lastly, while we're doing all those things, don't adapt to the enemy's ways. The enemy's got their way, and God's people have their way. And God says, let's keep them separate. Be not conformed to this world, Romans 12:2. And if we'll follow those rules, you know what will happen? People get saved, baptized, learn the Word of God, and some of them, God will call and send them out, and they'll start churches, and that's how it works. That's exciting. So, the rules of war. When thou goest out to battle, that's basically every time we step out the threshold of our house. We're going to battle. We're going to battle against sin. It's tempting us all the time. We're battling against the devil. He's always after our thought life, and he's always using other people. We're in a battle against this old world and its system. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's a battle. From the day we get saved until the day we die, we're in a battle. But we're on the winning side. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord.